4th of July. As you all know, listening to the news, we have some tragic events emerging now from Kerr County, Texas. It is shocking. It's so scary to think about what those families are faced with. And a lot of people are calling us, emailing us, and we've talked about it as a staff. There are some ministries that are doing amazing things, so this isn't the only one, but we would encourage you to go to SamaritansPurse.org. Samaritan's Purse is a ministry run by Franklin Graham. Everybody is probably familiar with his dad, Billy Graham. Samaritan's Purse is on the ground now in Kerr County, Texas, and they are providing medical care. They have food. They have all kinds of things. I wouldn't be surprised if in short order you have Convoy of Hope and others that are involved in the situation. We feel really good about how they spend money and the amazing doctors and nurses and people that volunteer just at with a phone call to be there for them. So anyway, we are constantly going to be praying for that community, and we're so grateful that they're there. We're also grateful about the great work that Feed New Mexico Kids does around the state of New Mexico. Today, we're joined by Tracy Rodden and Cindy Tucker. Tracy is the executive director. Cindy's gotten involved recently. She's a volunteer, and her husband also provides some financial support to the ministry. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
I didn't mean to frame us in necessarily a sad note, but even when you think about what Feed New Mexico Kids does, you are both battling to feed children on the weekends. And let me have you start with why is that necessary?
Well, I'm going to back up because my daughter and son-in-law actually live in Rock Springs, which is an hour from Kerrville, and they help at Black Diamond Camp. Not Black Diamond, Eagle Camp out there. And she called me and she said, "We're safe, but I need you to pray because the camps in Kerrville are flooding." And so they are in that community, and everything you said is exactly right. You know, and one thing that I spent 2 weeks in Kerrville in May visiting them, and we drove through there, and I'll just tell you that it's a very charming, close-knit community. And so she is telling me daily that they are coming together and everybody's working in unison in that terrible situation. But thanks for having me. Children were in harm's way and have been lost in Kerrville, and children are my heart too. So with Feed New Mexico Kids, you know, the Lord, I know for 100% has called me to be a part of helping to feed kids on the weekend. And here in New Mexico, I just read something from Feeding America, which is where I get a lot of my data from, has just ranked New Mexico in 2025, actually 2024, because we're halfway through 2025, but 50th again in childhood welfare. And that is still very concerning to me, but God. And so it's really easy as a New Mexican, and maybe Cindy can speak to this too. I've only lived here 14 years. I'm a native of California, but it seems to me we can easily get bogged down with the sadness of stats and what we see in daily life here. And I'm just here to tell you, I travel a lot, and I see this kind of thing in every city I travel to. And so we're not unique in that. But what we are unique in is that Feed New Mexico Kids has 16 partners, churches and businesses, that have come together with over 150 volunteers, Cindy being one of them, to try to mitigate the issue of what is happening to our children. Because what I say over and over and over again, and I'm the mother of five children, and they're all adults, and three of them are married, and I'm a grandmother of nine. And these children that we know are going hungry from the age 5 to 18, they're going to become adults, and they are going to come and live in our community, and we want them to have hope. And that's what will change our community, is the love of Christ for these children to grow up and then share the love of Christ as an adult as well.
And Tracy, do people realize that the public schools, and this is to their credit, are feeding a lot of children breakfast and lunch?
They are.
And that might be the only meals they have on that day, right?
Right. And APS is our largest school district. We do serve five school districts all the way from Los Lunas to Pecos now, which is exciting. Actually, I was just in Pecos yesterday driving around looking at that school where we serve, because I hadn't seen it since we became a partner with them. But these schools are working very hard. And I'll tell you something. If you know a teacher, a principal, a counselor, a nurse at a school, all the way from elementary to high school, you need to do something special for them, because these are the soldiers on the ground fighting for these children. We know Feeding Mexico Kids knows about these hungry children because of these teachers, counselors, and principals contacting us. And without them, there wouldn't be that bridge for the children in their schools.
And the gap, if children are able to eat breakfast and lunch at school,
yep,
they don't have any food on Saturday and Sunday. And
or a long weekend, right?
Yeah, or a long weekend.
We just had
four, three-day weekend.
A three-day weekend, yeah, in May, right? We had a three-day weekend, which for the average person, we get excited. It's a day off, an extra day to sleep in. But for that child, it's one more day till they get back to school to have a meal.
And Feed New Mexico Kids is filling that gap, providing snack packs. We'll talk all about this in our show today. But let's go talk to one of the soldiers.
Yeah.
Cindy, you're here. You're a volunteer for the ministry. How'd you get involved?
Yes. Hi. Thank you so much for having me. So I was in a Bible study group, and one of the ladies in our group had told me about Feed New Mexico Kids. Her daughter worked at a school that partnered with Feed New Mexico Kids. And from that conversation with her, I took that information to my husband. And, you know, he's such a hardworking man. He's a third generation New Mexican. And he has such a heart for kids. He has such a heart to give. And I told him that that was something that I wanted our family to consider and to pray about. And he was just so generous, you know, and he said, let's go ahead and do this. And the first year that we were involved with Feed New Mexico Kids, we were a financial donor. We have a young daughter. She's six. So at that time, she was in pre-K, you know, just a few days a week. So I didn't have as much time to actually like hands and feet volunteer. But this second year, I've been able to go and pack meal bags, which is just such a way to fill your cup. You know, there are so many lovely volunteers at the warehouse, and everybody is just on mission, you know, and with the financial donation from our family, we were able to support three elementary schools. So with one of those elementary schools, I became the driver and the deliverer of the boxes, which for me, I owned a business before we had my daughter, and it was a very relational business. So I have a desire to know and be known. And the opportunity to actually deliver the boxes, to meet the counselors, to meet the family advocates.
Mm-hmm. These are at public schools.
Yeah, these are at public schools. And to build the relationship with those people and even the principal, and be invited to counsel, their council meetings and things like that, you know, has just been really special. And even though my daughter doesn't go to that school, you know, I feel so grateful and just so blessed that we get to help feed those children there. And, you know, they have asked for different types of donations, you know, that our family has been able to provide, whether it's jackets or it's socks or it's clothes or it's snacks to fill their pantry there, you know, whatever it may be. You know, we've been able to provide that assistance to them. Just through all the blessings that, you know, God has bestowed on my husband and his business. So
I can't resist this, but I'm thinking there's other business people out there. You guys are you and your husband are business people, and you're doing this and helping three schools. So it wouldn't be that. Tracy shared with us how churches are doing this, but how easy is it for a business that has the resources to do this very thing you're talking about?
Well, I mean, I can only speak for us, but it was very easy to get involved. You know, it was just reaching out and stepping into that space and having a desire to be used in a big way. And I think that whether you are a family who wants to make a difference in your community, or whether you're a business, large mm-hmm. or small, mm-hmm. there is a place for you at Feed New Mexico Kids.
Here's another thing. I'm playing off of something we talked about before we started. I'm going to ask Tracy this, though. Even though your daughter is six and she's your daughter, is there a place for a six-year-old to help out Feed New Mexico Kids, Tracy?
Yeah, there is. And so So Cindy and I had had conversations when she first wanted to volunteer, and she had told me, you know, our daughter lives a life in need of nothing. And they wanted to expose her to the fact that that's not true for everybody, and to teach her to be a servant and to be the hands and feet of the Lord, which I thought was really beautiful. And so her daughter comes with her, and, you know, she'll sometimes pack and she'll help like load the car. But even if the six-year-old is just watching other people, other volunteers pack, and other what other people are doing, you know, that opens up the gateway for the parent to have the conversation. This is why we serve, and this is who we serve. We serve the Lord through this ministry. And it could be any ministry, actually, but Feed New Mexico Kids is close to a child's heart. Once, I think, a six-year-old definitely can start to put the pieces together in their mind when they see classmates and friends and, you know.
Well, and Cindy, you talked about joining the ministry over a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And just like you, your daughter is going to grow into this and understand more and more about how God is actually working through her.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. You know, I think Tracy's right. Like, children have the capacity to understand so much more than we give them credit for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she has come with me to deliver the boxes, and I've encouraged her to, like, come into the school, mm-hmm. you know, come and see it, come into the school, come into the counselor's room, where she can see other kiddos, and she has a different type of expectation as to what we're doing, instead of just like there's a box of food packs, mm-hmm. you know. And she has helped me at Christmas time, you know, go out and buy Christmas gifts for some of these schools. We've asked the schools not only with what their needs are with Feed New Mexico Kids and things like that, but, you know, are there families in need at Christmas time and things like that. And so she's helping me to participate in other ways to give. And I think getting her to understand that, you know, there are kids that are her age that are like the most vulnerable, that don't have anything. They have nothing, you know, and it's my prayer that it just touches her heart in such a way that she wants to fight for those kids, you know, the way that we do,
yeah.
As volunteers and as donors and things like that. Because these kids, they need our help. And it's unfathomable that in our country, in our state, with so much resources that we have, that there are still kids that are hungry. Mm-hmm. Like it's so hard to even imagine that.
The wealthiest country in the world.
Mm-hmm. Tracy, yeah. Is the problem so big we can't solve it?
No. And I think where we get hung up, if I can just, you know, be so bold and to get on a soapbox for a quick second, is I think we start to think as humans, I can't give. I can barely buy food myself. And we all know the cost of food has gone up. Some of it's gone down, you know, like eggs, for example. But, you know, typically food costs don't go down dramatically. And, you know, we think, well, I have to pay my rent and I have to, you know, put gas in my car and I have to feed my kids. 100%. Your ministry is to your family first. But God can do anything, and we end up putting him in a box and saying, he's only given me this much, I only have this much. And Cindy kind of touched on it earlier. There is a place in Feed New Mexico Kids for everybody. We have volunteers that are homebound that wrap spoons and napkins, and we either pick them up or they get delivered to our warehouse. We have people who are homebound who write out the encouragement cards. I literally go on Amazon, ship the supplies to them. They write the cards and a volunteer goes and picks them up because we put an encouragement card in every single 1 gallon Ziploc bag of food. We have volunteers that, they can only volunteer for the 2 hours we pack once a month, you know, all the way to volunteers who will sit down for one of our church partners and do all the numbers and send us what they need so we can order. You know, there's a place for everybody. And even, I just want to say, this is said a lot, but I don't mean it to sound flippant. Praying is a big deal. That's the key, right? And every day at 3 o'clock, there's a ton of volunteers that have an alarm on our phone that we're going to pray for Feed New Mexico Kids at 3 o'clock every single day. And that's powerful. The Lord can write a check for everything that we need, which would have to be $500,000 every year, just as a comfort and to get everything paid and to feed all the kids. He does not do that. I've been in this for 3.5 years. He casts his net very wide where he'll pull in different people like the Tuckers or another family or a school because he wants to spread the gospel wide and far. He just doesn't want to just write the check.
I love that.
So we're reliant on a lot of different entities.
Tracy Rodden and Cindy Tucker are with Feed New Mexico Kids. When we come back, we're going to talk about how much the ministry is doing and talk to you a little bit about the statistics. And you're going to be amazed at how much food has been distributed, but then you're going to be a little disappointed with how many people are on a waiting list. We'll be back on ABQ Connect right after this.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Not sure I'm looking forward to later in the week at 100 degree temperatures. Today we have a little bit more modest 92 or so. So grateful that I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, though. So many people are dissing on New Mexico. But man, I can go fishing in 3 hours north. I can be in the mountains in less than 20 minutes. I can enjoy the sun. We have maybe 2 months a year that are a little bit chilly. So even if you don't like winter, I mean, just it's just a wonderful place. And Feed New Mexico Kids out there trying to give people an experience that they don't have to worry about food insecurity. Tracy, how much is the ministry able to accomplish so far?
So we just were able to wrap up the 2024-2025 school year, and we put together our numbers. And we were able to pack 129,000+ snack packs for those. And we go by UPS, APS school district, and they have a 36-week program. So everything is based off of APS because it's our largest school district. And so just for reference, that's how many we packed, over 129,000 snack packs in 36 weeks. And that came to 118,000 tons of food. The Lord knows we're visual people, and he spoke to us in parables because he knew that that would stay in our brain, right? And for other reasons too. But if you can imagine 118 one-ton trucks every week rolling out of Sam's to feed kids, that's a lot of food. When Holly founded Feed New Mexico Kids in 2017, they were rejoicing over 1 ton of food. And now look where we're at, just because of everybody opening their heart and donating or using their hands and feet to help this ministry. We're feeding children.
I can't help but think about what Cindy said earlier. She's now delivering food. Are you getting a big reimbursement check every month for your gas?
No, we're not getting a reimbursement check every month. But, you know, at the end of the year, we do get our tax forms that we can utilize, which is super helpful, you know. Yeah. So, you know, whether it's end of the year or it's now in the summertime when it's really needed, you know, your donations make a big impact.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that donations that come to us almost get cut in half during the 6 weeks of summertime. And to me, I understand why people don't give as much in the summer. It kind of makes sense, right? Kids are out of school. They're probably not delivering. But just think about it like this. We will start the fall, which is quickly coming on us. August 6th or 5th is the first day of school. in the negative, not having enough money for food to feed all the kids. And the teachers and the counselors and the principals all know about us. So right about now, I get emails saying we want to be on the list. And I have to tell everybody that wants to be on the list for us, the warehouse, it's all dependent on funding. And snack packs are about $5 a snack pack. People do donate food. I think that's extremely generous. I would just encourage people to go to feednmkids.org to see what kind of food, because especially here at Calvary, you know, there's a lot of food that we get as a donation. It doesn't go to waste, which Jim and I have talked about many times. We have a place to take it. But if you don't donate the items that we can pack, just know those aren't going in our snack packs.
Right.
They're going somewhere. We try to find a place for them. We don't ever waste food. But
we should say the intention of the snack pack
is to
help a variety of ages, say 5 years to 18 years old.
Well, and you have to think about it too. You know, in the snack pack, there are go-go yogurts, go-go applesauce, ramen, mac and cheese. These are things a child can eat who doesn't have access to an oven, you know, to fresh milk, to a microwave even sometimes, because what these kids will do is they'll take their cup of mac and cheese that's in the Ziploc, excuse me, and they will ask a Circle K, for example, can we have hot water? And they'll let them have it. And so the go-go squeezes can be resealed and reused. Mm-hmm. You know, so think about what a child who basically is unhoused, living in a motel or a tent like in Pecos, mm-hmm. a dirt floor tent these kids go home to every night. Mm. They can't make rice. They can't make beans. They can't open a can. So that's the purpose of the snack pack, is food kids will eat and then a five-year-old and up can prepare on their own.
Mm. Sometimes people think about, they don't focus like Feed New Mexico Kids. They think about, well, how come these families are in trouble? How come their kids are not eating? Well, those are all important questions. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that is substance abuse, mm-hmm. poverty caused by unemployment. I mean, there's a lot of other issues, and there's a lot of other amazing ministries and public service organizations mm-hmm. that are addressing that part. What Feed New Mexico Kids is focusing on is making sure that everybody has food. Mm-hmm. And I can't think, you said this to me many times. I don't know exactly how you phrased it, but you said, Jim, look, we love people to all know Jesus as their Lord and Savior.
Right.
But you're not going to be able to talk to a child about the Lord if they can't think about anything except the sounds coming out of their stomach because they haven't eaten for 3 days.
I'll tell you a quick story. So we have a church partner, First Baptist Bosque Farms in Los Lunas, and Nikki Wolf is our partner there. And she told me a story that one of the five schools they serve, five schools out of that church, the counselor was putting together the snack packs, like putting kids' names on them at a high school. And two girls walked into the counselor's office and said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm putting, you know, getting ready to distribute these weekend snack packs for kids who are hungry. And they said, the two girls, well, we're hungry. And she said, you can have a snack pack. And they said, well, where does this come from? And she said, it comes from a church. And she said, the girls said, well, we don't go to church. I guess we can't have one. And she mm-hmm. said, no, you absolutely can. That's the gospel right there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right there. All those girls know is that their belly was filled over the weekend because somebody said they were a follower of Christ and actually did something about it. Let's not be elite Christians, right? Driving around and sitting in comfort and going to get food out of our refrigerator or drive-through or Uber Eats or whatever it is when we feel like it, and say we're Christians, but you know, we spend more money on a fancy coffee that we don't actually even need instead of giving it so a child can eat. It just boggles my mind that really the Lord came from heaven, a place of perfect, to come down to earth, a place of complete unperfectness, to be killed, to show us how to serve, and we don't emanate that. Mm. It just makes me crazy.
I love that. It's interesting. I just have met Cindy. I've known Tracy for a while, but Cindy and her husband and their 6-year-old daughter are kind of involved in in ministering to other people, meeting other people's physical needs. Cindy, when you deliver food to a school, is there a look of hope in the eyes of the people you deliver that food to?
Absolutely. You know, my interaction only goes as far as the counselors. Mm-hmm. So I haven't actually gotten to like hand deliver packs to
a child. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But every time I bring boxes into the school and I get to interact with the ladies there, they have a look of just gratitude and hope that the kids that they serve, you know, they know that they're going to be taken care of. And they're so grateful for all of the meals that Feed New Mexico Kid provides. And I mean, as someone who's being the hands and feet of the Lord, you know, it's just a way to just have your heart be filled. And there's just so much satisfaction knowing that, like, I've done something today that is going to help somebody in the name of Jesus Christ.
I love the way James put it in James 2, starting in verse 15. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, one of you being us, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you don't give them what is necessary for their body. And then James rhetorically says, what good is that?
Yeah.
Well, it isn't any good.
Yeah.
We need first to take care of people. Mm-hmm. And those are people of all faiths, no faith, whatever. We're going to take care of everybody, as you said earlier, Tracy. There's no qualifications right. or discrimination. No. And I believe, and I think you two will both concur, this is how God brings people to himself, by working through kindness, working through needs being met. And people do know that a Christian organization is providing this. So if you have any idea that you might be a Cindy or a Tracy and you like their stories and why they're involved in this ministry, you can give the ministry a call at 505-252-4341 or go to the website at FeedNM, for New Mexico, feednmkids.org. We'll be back with more from Cindy and Tracy. Stay with us.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. The team from Feed New Mexico Kids, or at least two of the members of the team, Cindy Tucker and Tracy Rodner, with us. Tracy is the executive director. Cindy is a volunteer, and her husband also provide some financial support. And I'm going to kind of, I told you what we were going to do before the break, but Cindy just said something very interesting. She's currently helping at
Hodgins Elementary School,
and you got a call from somebody at Del Norte. Mm-hmm. High school.
That's right.
And so, I don't think Feed New Mexico Kids is right now doing anything at Del Norte High School.
No, we do. At the beginning of every school year, coming up in the next couple weeks, we do put our list together of schools in need. And just so the listeners know, we prioritize middle and high school first with our funding and weekend snack packs. And the reason for that is, if you ever get a chance to talk to a high school counselor, they'll tell you that there's 18-year-olds in high school that, because they're 18, they don't qualify for a lot of help from the government because they're considered an adult. A lot of them are required by their home life to get a job and to help contribute to the finances of the home. A lot of those kids are getting jobs at food places so that they can also take food home. And a lot of them are what we call unhoused, or they're couch surfing, meaning it's not comfortable or safe for them to be at home. So they're going from friend's house to friend's house. A lot of them live under underpasses and go to school during the day. And so, you know, I think it's important to understand, we're not just feeding elementary kids, which those kids are important too, but The elementary schools get a lot of attention from the government. As kids get older, they get less attention from the government and less help. And the kids that are under 18, you know, we were talking about how they got into that a situation where they were food insecure. And many of them are being raised by family members or grandparents who don't actually have legal custody of them. So because they don't have legal custody, they're not able to go onto government sites and apply for assistance. You know, if you think of it like a 75-year-old grandparent is raising a grandchild or even a great-grandchild, and hopefully they are comfortable on a computer, but maybe not, to search. And, you know, there's a lot of different things going on. Parents who are working and doing their very best, but at the end of the month, there's more bills than food.
Well, Tracy, more bills than Tracy money. Explain to us, though, there's a difference between a child on Monday morning that hasn't eaten Saturday or Sunday,
right,
that has a quiz.
Right.
And then there's
right
hormones involved with a 16-year-old girl that's a junior in high school, and she hasn't eaten for 2 days and has to go to school Monday morning. Mm-hmm. Would you compare and contrast those two?
So I'll just tell you my own personal experience with being food insecure. So for 4 or 5 years of my life in elementary, middle school, I was food insecure. I was living with my mom, and she was an absent parent for all the reasons that you can think of. And the school expected us to do the testing with the Scantrons, where you read the question and you fill in the bubble. I could not do it. I was hungry, and I could not do it. And I, at that time, when you're, you know, 10, 11, 12, you don't really understand why you can't do it. And so you have a teacher coming saying, okay, well, we have to get you tested as a special needs child. So I was in a special needs class. Now, I'm not going to say I don't have special needs in some way. For sure, my husband would say there's something there. But
and he would sleep on the couch right after saying that.
But, you know, it really inhibited. And, you know, we were moving all the time. I mean, I changed schools every 3 to 6 months. My education definitely suffered. But God uses the pain and suffering of somebody and of yourself to help other people. I understand what these children are going through. I understand what it feels like to be considered less than, to be looked down upon because your clothes are dirty and your shoes are, you know, two times too big, and you're stuffing toilet paper in the end so that they will fit, right? And, you know, you're asking, are you going to eat that at lunchtime? And I'll tell you something, food was such a sore point for me that in the sixth grade, I remember lunch was 40 cents. I don't know how many people can remember how much their school lunch was, but I remembered it was a quarter, a dime, and a nickel, and I needed that in order to get food. So if we want to help these children that are food insecure to be able to take a test, to be able to concentrate, to be able to manage, like you said, their hormones, food is a key.
That does take a few calories too, doesn't it?
Yeah. About 3,000 for a young teenage man standing still is burning 3,000 calories a day.
Cindy, how much of this did you need to know before you decided to volunteer?
Well, I didn't really know any of it, to be quite honest. You know, I went to the website, and there's a really, really good documentary on the website about just food insecurity that really touched my heart. And after I met Tracy and started to get involved, you know, she's shared more and more with me about how food is almost used as a weapon.
Yeah.
You know, and how for so many kids, food is used as a way to for other people to get them to do what they want them to do.
And it's okay to say that food insecure children are more likely to be coaxed into sex trafficking. Predators know that they're food insecure and will use that to get them into despicable acts. And so we used to not say anything about that. We used to be afraid, and I used to be fearful of talking about that on the air, and I used to be fearful of talking about that in public forums that I often speak into, because I was worried that predators would be aware. But you know what? Parents need to be aware, and young people need to be aware that they're vulnerable if they're food insecure. And that's what evil is looking for. And I'll tell you, and I apologize for interrupting Cindy. She's so gracious to allow me to say something. Satan wants our children. He wanted me. I could feel it as a child. He wants us to feel hopeless. He wants us to feel like nobody cares. He wants us to feel like God isn't even paying attention. And us as the believers, and we all came to Christ, not just because we flipped a switch one day and decided, it was because somebody was kind to us and somebody who was a believer had the light shining in them that we desired. Mm. Right. And so we need to be that for other people too. Mm-hmm. And to give these kids hope with a full belly and knowing that they're going to get a snack pack on a Friday at school to sustain them. They can help hopefully fight harder to do well in school and to fight off other issues that are happening.
So Cindy, you decided a person that you were in a Bible study with told you about Feed New Mexico Kids. You felt like called, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, I had talked to my husband about it. We went on the website. We watched the documentary, which is great for anybody listening who wants to know more. Mm-hmm. Go and check it out. It's at feednmkids.org.
So let me ask you, I want to see how this grew.
Okay.
So you guys are obviously successful business people. Are you happy with the accountability financially that the ministry has?
Yes, absolutely. You know, everything is documented and it's well taken care of. And, mm-hmm. you know, I believe that Tracy is very accessible. Mm-hmm. She makes herself accessible to all of the volunteers. And as a donor, she was accessible to us. So I think at any point in time, if there were ever any questions mm-hmm. or, you know, anything that we needed feedback on, she was always available to provide mm-hmm. that to us. So for our family, like we knew that our financial giving was secure with Feed New Mexico Kids and that it was going to be utilized in a way that was going to impact our city. You know, this is an opportunity for all of you listening, whether you're a business owner or you just have your family and you have felt called to give in a way that impacts your city, what greater gift could you give than to feed a child that's hungry?
Right, in our own community.
Yes.
Yeah. And I would encourage people that if you're just hesitant, it's okay to be hesitant and it's okay to ask questions. And, you know, I think that's very smart. God asks us to be wise with our money. Come, when we start packing, come to the warehouse and see it. I invite anybody who wants to come, you know, wear comfortable clothes because we're in a space donated to us by Intrepid. Antoinette and Ryan Doyle have donated a space for us. And if you have a warehouse or a huge building that's just sitting and you want a tax write-off, we need our own space. We don't have AC. We don't have heat. And you know what? That's okay. Actually, I think it's okay for the volunteers. I'm a volunteer just as much as I'm the director. To be a little dirty and to be a little bit uncomfortable, that's okay. But we would like our own space so that we have more, you know, places that we can meet and gather and celebrate because we like to celebrate our volunteers.
We're going
to
take our last break and we'll have these two ladies with us until 2 o'clock. We're going to say thank you to our sponsors again. But when we come back, a lot of people heard, oh, there's 118 tons of food distributed and everything else. Cindy's mm-hmm. talked about packing snack packs. And nobody here actually knows that schedule. You're not being asked mm-hmm. as a volunteer to work 40 hours a week or anything else like that. So maybe we can be a little bit more specific and intentional about the schedule and what volunteers actually do, because I think you're going to find that there's some real convenient ways to fit it into your schedule. We'll be right back.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Tracy Rodden, the executive director of Feed New Mexico Kids, is in studio along with volunteer and financial supporter Cindy Tucker. Feed New Mexico Kids, you can find out details at feednmkids.org. Their phone number is 505-252-4341. A lot of information available on the website, and Cindy alluded to a documentary that was actually put together mm-hmm. by your friend.
Sarah Canafani.
Sarah did a great job.
Yeah,
and you
did.
Participated. Holly,
yeah.
Who is the original founder of Feed to Mexico Kids. Holly, we should probably give a shout out to Holly.
Holly
and
Slade.
Dave. They're out in Portugal.
Yes.
And really enjoying things out there.
They're such hard workers. I mean, they have set the bar so high for integrity, and they're working hard that, you know, I just love it. I love that.
So when we talk about volunteering, mm-hmm. Cindy, maybe you give an example of what your volunteer time takes. I mean, is this a 20-hour week kind of thing?
Oh, no. You know, typically, so on Monday mornings, we pack. And just to give the listeners an idea, you know, I take my daughter to school. My dog is in tow. I get... Mm-hmm. 20 minutes at the dog park with the dog, mm-hmm. and then I go and drop him off, and then I go to the warehouse, and at 9 o'clock we start packing, mm-hmm. and every packing meeting starts with, or packing event starts with a prayer. Yeah. It starts with just touching base with everybody and prayer requests and mm-hmm. and things like that, and then we jump in, and there's, you know, three or four packing lines, and there's 30 plus volunteers, and it's like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
You know, you can, as a volunteer, you can jump in anywhere on any line and, mm-hmm. and just get to it. And the conversations that are had, you know, they're inspirational. They're godly conversations with the other people there.
Would you be allowed to bring somebody with you to see what it's like?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You can bring somebody with you if you want to bring your neighbor, you want to bring your mom, you want to bring, you know, a friend or whatever, bring them with you, show them what it's about. Even if they just want to watch,
yeah.
that's fine too. And you know, once you are there for your first time, you get the bug, and it just fills your spirit with so much joy, mm-hmm. to know that you are here with a handful of other volunteers doing God's work, and that your effort, your time, is really going to make a difference. You know,
yeah.
because sometimes I think that we hear about programs on the radio that are just like asking for money for this or that or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but this is like making a direct impact.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's huge, because when you go and pack a bag, like you're physically holding the food, you know, you are putting this bag together, and this gift is going to feed yeah. a kid in your community. It's not going
immediately.
Yes. It's not going just, you know, across yeah. the world or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's just really impactful.
And Tracy, this is done very discreetly at the schools.
Yes.
Like the counselors have the bags. If somebody stops by, they need food, they can slip it right yeah. into their backpack. Nobody knows.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a big part of it, right? Is we don't want to shame anybody, a 5-year-old to 18, that they need food. But we do have a lot of experience with the elementary kids, and the teachers have to, you know, say, come to room, whatever. And they just, those kids go to that room and they get the food put in their backpack. And the teachers tell them, do not open this food until you get home. And that's not to save the child from shame. It's because when the other kids see it, they're going to want it too.
Yeah.
You know, and that's for that child. And, you know, sometimes those children will share that food with their families, and kind of use their snack pack as a supplement. So yeah, it's discreetly done.
Is this unfair for me to give you maybe an example? Let's say that you're a business or a church,
mm-hmm.
and there are 40 food insecure kids at a particular school.
Yeah.
What would it cost you to feed 40 kids a week with Feed to Mexico Kids?
So So if it's 40 kids a week, it's the same 40 kids every week for 4 weeks, right? So do that math. And then it's $5 a snack pack
okay.
to feed a child. So just for an example, Feed New Mexico Kids, you know, Cindy said the warehouse. So kind of to back up what that actually means is we're the center of a wheel, a spoked wheel, and the warehouse is one of 16 entities that feeds kids in the community. So from our location, we feed 35 kids a month, and then from all locations. So when I say Feed New Mexico kids, I'm talking about all 16 locations, including the warehouse. We feed 85 different schools through that. And
There's a bunch of churches. I know two big churches, Calvary and Legacy Church.
Calvary and Legacy. Legacy actually packs, so the warehouse, if you think of it as the center, we pack 1,400 snack packs a week, which costs us, are you ready, between $5,000 and $6,000 a week. Okay. And we actually need men or women who have a one-ton truck that have a couple of hours on a Friday morning. So we place our order with Sam's Club. And we do that with Sam's Club. We don't get a special discount. Nobody just fills up our warehouse with food, like a food fairy. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to get the donations. We have to buy the food. We have to go pick up the food. So we order from Sam's Club because Sam's Club only marks their food up 2%, and we can't get it any cheaper than that. Mm. A lot of people have come to me and said, we need to put better food in the snack packs. Hey, I'm all for that, but it just has to be shelf stable, affordable, and something a child will actually eat. Those are my three qualifiers. Mm. And if somebody wants to write a check for us to buy better food, I will take that check to the bank very quickly. So we need volunteers who want to do what we call freight. So we have three entities of volunteers. We have packers, delivery drivers, and freight. So those are the three main people that help at the warehouse. Cindy actually just happens to fulfill two of those. I mean, if Cindy, you know, she came along and said, hey, we want help financially. And I said, hey, do you want to deliver? And she said, sure. Hey, do you want to pack? And she said, sure. So
Cindy, I think you need to ask your husband if you can buy a monster truck so you can do all three.
You know, he has his heart set on a travel van, so we could probably do something with a travel van.
Yeah, I think our husband should never talk. That's what I think. That seems like the thing for husbands. But yeah, so we do need help with people who can spend some time on a Friday morning and help pick up the Sam's order and then take it to the warehouse. We have people there to help deliver.
So that, people are free to come and check it out. Read about everything on the website. You can come and kind of be part of everything just to see how it all works.
Yeah.
How would a church or a business get involved maybe to support the ministry financially? What do they do?
So the very most important thing is to contact us at the phone number or on our email. Our email is on the website, but it's feednmkids@gmail.com. It's really basic. Or you can text the 252-4341 number or call us. And then what I'll do is give information, and I will come and talk to whoever's interested in the program. And, you know, a lot of churches, I'll tell you, Jim, the pastors have the heart for it, but they get concerned that they're going to have to take it on themselves. And what happens is, if the church is up for it, I'll do a Q&A one morning at the church and say, we're looking for three people who are willing to lead this thing. And I end up getting 40 people coming up to me saying, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. So I just want to encourage, if you're a pastor, associate pastor, or working at a church, this is not a call to you to do more. This is something for your congregation to step up and step through and do it. And we will come and train and teach you how to do it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think this is possible for a business to do too, as maybe a team building thing. What do you think of that idea, Cindy?
So Journey Pediatrics is a partner, and they pack at their pediatrician office here in Albuquerque, and they serve a school. And they're volunteers. Volunteers, parents, and the staff pack.
So I only have 8 more questions I want to ask both of you, but the music is playing. Cindy, I'd love to ask you more questions. Please come back on the show. Thanks for being here today. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.